Hello, Karis family. This is Monty Knetter, and I am here with
Kim Nielsen
and Katie Tuck.
And we're going to follow up on our last episode, and that was talking about how to guide our children in character growth. Today we're going to talk about some specific examples. Again, last time we talked about general questions: what is character, why is it important, how do we help kids grow in it? And today we're going to walk through about half a dozen specific situations, specific difficulties that we face as co-teachers. So we're just going to jump right in. What do you do when you have a child that says, I can't do this?
It depends.
Is that helpful?
Okay, next one.
Sometimes it's, you're right, you can't. You need help. Sometimes it's you need help. Sometimes it is, well, let's back up. Do you really think you can't? You just not want to do this? And then we have to talk through some of the steps to actually get it done. Sometimes it feels way too big and they're just overwhelmed and we need to stop and then break up that project in some little pieces. Mm-hmm. So, and there are many other ways to handle it, but I would say the first one is, we remind ourselves that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That's it. We said it in the other podcast as well. Like Charlotte Mason said, I am a child of God. I ought to do his will. I can do all things through Christ, and by his strength, I will. So we don't as much anymore. We should bring this back into our home, but we would say that a lot in our home, and it's reminding ourselves that by his strength, we can do what is set before us.
Yeah, I'm reminded of that. I've read a book called The Growth Mindset. And so I think of that as I think of, you know, this, I can't do this. Well, do you feel like that because it's difficult, because it's hard, or I just don't know how? So I loved what you said, like we need to break this apart and we need to find pieces of it. What is the challenging part of it? And then address that. Maybe you just need more tools. Maybe you're just discouraged and you need encouragement. If this really is something that you need help with, well, you need to just ask. And that's often the first step for my kids. Like for some reason, especially if they've gotten older, some of them don't want to ask for help and they just would prefer to just give up.
Yes.
And right. So I think part of that is like, right, it's hard to work through something that you can't do well. And again, that humility piece of asking for help. And so sometimes that's the first step. Let's not just give up. Let's see how we can grow in this. Oftentimes it's not out of their reach. It just, yeah, they need more assistance or encouragement or sometimes rebuke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes it's an attitude thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think you're being lazy. And I think you need to just, let's work hard at this, and maybe we choose a time frame of like, let's work at it for 15 minutes, and I bet you'll be encouraged by how far you can get if we just do it in, you know, 15 minutes and be diligent, and I think that can be then encouraging to them of like, oh, I can do this, or with a little help, I can do this.
Yeah, I think too, the more they encounter those hard things and have the tools to get through them, the easier they will be as they encounter them when they're older. And we can probably all attest to those times with our students as they get older and they become more independent. They've had really difficult times with mm-hmm. us in the early years. One of my students hated writing, and it was just an absolute chore. So we'd have to sit down and break the writing assignment into little measurable pieces, even mm-hmm. if it was a sentence. We'd have to sit and break it down and just start together. And now the student actually really loves to write and works on things, you know, for a long time, enjoyably so.
Yeah. I think math is another one I hear frequently, like, oh, I just can't do math, or I'm bad at math, or hate it, or sorry, Mrs. Cox. and Mrs. Peppa. But I hear that. I mean, I've heard that from some of my kids. I hear that from other students or parents, like, I just can't do it. And I think, you know, looking back, like one of my students struggled particularly with math oftentimes. And he/she was just recently saying that that's one of their favorite subjects. And I think oftentimes when you make it through something that's difficult, right, there's satisfaction in being able to achieve that and to do that, or even if it's not perfection, just seeing growth is huge. So again, we can grow in this, even if it's not your favorite, even if it's not a natural strength. Like, you can take steps still to grow in it.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the areas that it helps us to recognize our culture's weak spot. Like, as a culture, we're not big on challenging ourselves or challenging our kids on pushing through. Right? I'm thinking of the Spartans. They had an old saying, come home on your shield or with it, right? The idea was you go out and you conquer it, so you come home carrying your shield, or you come home, or maybe I screwed that up, with it, right? Or you come home on it, right? Because your dad and your comrades are carrying you home. The idea that, like, you give up was just an anathema to them. It's just not acceptable. You try, and you try, and you try, and you either succeed or you die trying. That's it. You never give up. Like, they might have taken that a little too far at times. right? But, I mean, like, we're pretty far the other direction, where it's like, oh, like, you got upset. You better go home, right? You better quit. You better give up. And that doesn't produce resilient, strong, tough people. And we, like we said in the last episode, we need those character traits, because even though we have technology and we have indoor plumbing and heating, like, spiritually, we still face the same difficulties that Abraham did or Moses did or people thousands of years ago did.
Our home uses the Yoda motto, the do or do not, there is no try.
That's good.
So, kind of like the Spartans.
Exactly.
Very similar.
Well, okay, well, what about if instead of saying, I can't do this, one of your kids says, I won't do this? I'm sure that's never happened, no. But in theory, how would you deal with that?
Yes, you will.
Yeah, I mean, again, it depends.
Yeah, right, it's true.
Again, I think it depends on if it's coming from, I'm just so discouraged, I feel like this is above me, I won't because I don't. I don't want to push past that. I think sometimes it does take some, okay, let me do this. I'll do this beside you. Or let's do this together. You can do this. Sometimes it's finding a way to make it more enjoyable. So sometimes we would do certain things during, we called it tea time. And so, or right after our tea time. And so we would just have, again, it was a coming together, and we would have, I would have tea, they would often have hot chocolate. And then sometimes we would have a little snack, and then we would do kind of that hard thing while we were kind of pulled around, and so that made it enjoyable. You could maybe call that bribery. but yeah, oftentimes it was just, well, this is what's required of us, and so this is the right thing to do. And so again, after listening, after figuring out what's going on, I think if it's still just like, I'm just digging my heels, I just don't want to, and so I won't, then it's like, okay, well, you're just not gonna do other enjoyable things either until you do this. Oftentimes I would just have to say, okay, well, I guess you can turn it in like that to Mrs., Mr. And then it was like, oh, no, I don't want to turn it in blank or not have anything. So, I mean, in one sense, that pleasing, you don't want to teach your kids to be people pleasers, but I think they do want to please their teachers. And you can, as a co-teacher, I think, use that in a good way of getting them to see this. This isn't just you alone. Like, this is going to affect your relationship with your teacher, with your classmates, if you just don't do this, because you won't. So,
yeah. There are real life consequences to those actions of choosing not to do something. Absolutely. So I would say the same thing. Sometimes it's, you won't turn it in, you won't get a grade. Sometimes it's addressing a rebellious heart. And so I think it just takes discernment to know what that is. Kim, it was helpful to kind of go through specifically sometimes what that looks like, but yeah, I think it looks different at different times, but But generally, it's no, you will, actually. you will, but I like what you said, too, about changing things up. That's a good thing, especially in those younger years, to remember. Sometimes I felt like I would get stuck around the table or stuck where we were doing things, and then not stuck. I think it's fine, but it's good to remember that you can get out of whatever habit you're in. Sorry, habits. We love habits, but I mean, you know, just like an everyday type of thing.
Change it up a little.
Change it up a little bit. Go in the living room. Have a have a picnic. Go outside. Something like that, and that just helps the attitude. Sometimes I think kids get overwhelmed too, and they just need to be alone for a little while. Depending on the kids, I have one introvert for sure, and sometimes that child of mine just needs to be alone for a little while, and they need to come and have a little bit more. I don't know if it's strength, but just a little bit more to come and address it. But it needs to be done by the end of the day.
Yeah. I think that's a good reminder, too, because sometimes, again, in my ideal world, I have kind of a timetable. And if we've pushed a little far and it's just they're tired or overwhelmed or whatever, taking a short break and then coming back to it, even if it's a disobedient heart, I think taking a pause instead of us just battling it out, sometimes maybe the pause is better for me or I need the pause as much as my child needs the pause and the break. So sometimes, again, if it's just we're just butting heads and it's just digging in heels and there's a rebellious spirit, I think sometimes taking a little break and then not letting it go, though, like you don't just get to not do this, but we're going to come back to this, can be helpful.
Yeah, and I think this is where it helps to be on the same page. Right? There's some nights where my wife is in the midst of things, and I just tell her, like, just back off. Don't have that battle. I can come in fresh. I haven't been with the kids the last 10 hours. I can assess, and we can talk, and I can deal with it. So you don't have to worry about this. You're already doing a lot. It's already hard work as a co-teacher. And adding, like, really difficult kind of discipline situations into that can be very challenging. Yeah.
One of the things my husband says, I hope this doesn't come across wrong, but, you know, we'll say, we can't change your heart. Like, so there's a rebellious heart or just a digging in. Like, I mean, sometimes you have to name, like, you basically just need a heart change, but I can't change your heart. But he says, I can't change your heart, but I can make life miserable. So it's like, we're left with consequences, basically. If, you know, we're going to pray for your heart. We're going to pray through it. There's grace on the other side. But ultimately, there's consequences when you do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I guess, okay, this is going to be slightly controversial, but I'm gonna go for it because I think it's right, obviously.
It'll draw our likes up.
So, yeah.
On social media.
I mean, men and women both bear God's image, but they bear it in different ways. And so typically, a feminine trait tends to be creating a nurturing, safe environment where kids feel just good and comfortable and loved. Men tend to, right, have the masculine trait of just challenging, wanting to stretch and grow. And there's this, I don't know how to put words on it, but there's this feeling in our culture where good fathers look like good mothers, right? We want to feminize parenting. And there's women who think that, like, their job as a mother is to keep their kids safe from their fathers. I'm not talking about, like, abuse. Abuse is wrong. Right. I'm not justifying that. But they will try to, like, undermine a father's discipline or undermine consequences, say they're being too harsh. And so you lose that balance that kids need. And so that's something I don't have any good solutions, but I would say try to be aware of that. If you are a woman and you find yourself in a position where your husband's saying, like, hey, he needs to be challenged, he needs to be pushed, and you're constantly pushing back, you might want to reconsider. Your husband might just kind of intuitively be onto something. He might be seeing something that the kid needs. And you know what? Most guys, myself included, like, they don't want to be in a situation where they're in a constant kind of nagging battle with their wife. And so they're just going to back off and watch, like, football and have a beer at the end of the night instead of, like, really pushing that. And it's not in the kid's best interest. But that tends to be an outcome when husbands get really hard pushback from their wives on disciplining kids. They just stop doing it.
Yeah. I think that's a good reminder because it seems to also be the case that men are a little bit more lenient with their daughters and women tend to be a little bit more lenient with their sons. I have seen that before. I've read other people talk about that, and we've seen it even in our home. So just being in communication about that as well, I think that kind of goes along with what you were saying as well. Just sometimes we know our own gender a little bit better in our kids, and we can say, I think my daughter actually needs some discipline, not necessarily a hug right now. I mean, obviously, always a hug, but just, oh, it's okay. No, she needs that. And then I think the same with like you were saying, with fathers and their sons. They have a little bit more insight probably into what they need. And we just sometimes just need to trust one another in that and communicate. And that probably takes a lot of growing and discerning, but it's a good thing to be aware of for sure.
All right, so here's another hypothetical that I'm sure nobody's ever experienced. But how do you deal with times where you're seeing a level of respect and a good attitude and a certain work ethic in the classroom, and then it's not transferring over into the co-teaching classroom? How do you walk through that as a parent and a co-teacher?
I have never experienced that. But, no. I think this is frequent. And again, when I think about it, right, when I'm most comfortable, I let my guard down. And so oftentimes my sin comes out with those who I really love and I'm comfortable around in a different way. And so, again, not to take, like, offense as a mom that I see my kids kind of grumpy, disrespectful side more than others. We've said, well, we can be thankful that it's not the opposite. Like, that would be bad, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I'll just remind my kids, so that they see me not just as, like, mom that's not really a person, which I think kids do, kind of, but, like, I'm a person as well. So would you treat so-and-so like this? Would you say that to your teacher who asked you to do that? Like your classroom teacher who asked you to do that? So sometimes I'll just name a name. Like, would you say that if Mrs. Hobart tried to ask you that? And they just look at me like, there's no way, you know? And so it's like, well, why are you responding to me like that? Or treating me like that then? Oftentimes that's kind of this aha moment in my kids that's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm your teacher right now too. And even as a mom, like even if it's just my mom role, like you still need to speak respectfully or kindly or with a different tone. And so that's been helpful in our home.
Yeah, ours too. That I would totally agree with Kim that that's been an aha moment in our satellite classroom as well. The other thing is that I think about probably not enough is it's really easy as a mom or a mom generally, a parent, to take offense at my kids acting disrespectfully. Mm-hmm. And then I act offended and I react emotionally. And I think that's where some of that impatience comes in or frustration. And I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I just, for myself in our home, I need to remember that I don't need to take offense at the way they're acting disrespectfully because I am their authority and I am put there by God. And so they do need to act within that. And I do want my home to be one filled with grace, but there are boundaries mm-hmm. within that. And that is grace. And if we're kind of sowing these habits in our home of grace-filled interactions, those corrections, when they're not filled with emotion, can be easier to encounter, I think.
Yeah, that's so good. I think another thing for me is I've asked for help. Yeah. So sometimes I think, again, if you have a child who's either very much like you or very much unlike you, I mean, dislike, how do you say that?
Unlike.
Yeah, unlike. You can butt heads or you can just not be understanding where things are coming from. And so there can be a resistance that builds over time. Mm-hmm. And so I think asking for help, asking teachers, like, how are you doing this? What is it? What are they like in the classroom? What do you find is working well? And learning new ways to do things as a co-teacher as well.
And each child is different. And so can I just hone my own skill as a co-teacher and that art of teaching so that maybe there's less resistance because I'm teaching more the grain of that child. And so, again, sometimes it's my own issue and not just my child's issue.
All right, so let's look at this, you know, from a slightly different angle. There we just talked about what do you do when your child is giving better effort at school than at home. But what about in a situation where your child is upset about what's going on in mm-hmm. school, upset maybe at their teacher, and you kind of think your child is right? How do you walk through that with your child?
I think that's really good. I think I can't think of specific instances where this has happened. I don't think it has necessarily, but regardless, I think the gospel is appropriate for every interaction. And so we're dealing with sinful beings. We're sinful, our kids are sinful, and hey, everybody around us is sinful. So we're in real life, we're going to be encountering other people's sins and shortfalls. And so let's say that did happen. It is really important to come at those situations alongside our children with those gospel lenses, because we kind of, just like you were both saying, you know, we need to come at it with humility, because we need God's help. We need his grace upon us. We need his blood to cover our sins, and others need that as well. So when we look at somebody else's issue, if it's a teacher that we're disagreeing with and we think our student is right, well, I think we can sit down and talk about that and never disparage the teacher in front of them, but we can try to understand what's going on and really talk about things in a gracious light with our student, because we it's really easy to I think so discontent within the hearts of our students mm-hmm. when we kind of feed into some of that agreement, like, or disagreements. I think this could even be with other children as well. Because
other students.
Other mm-hmm. students, mm-hmm. yeah, because that happens way more often, right, on the playground. Like, there are absolutely sins that have gotten in the way of relationships. So I feel like that's even more, that happened more appropriate. You know, we deal with that a lot more often. And I think you can easily hold grudges and bitterness in your heart even at those young ages, and walking our kids through how to forgive, how to approach one another and approach it with humility is going to be a lifelong skill. I know adults who, you know, we all know adults who just live with bitterness, right? It's like all over their faces, and it's so sad, but I think it's really easy for us to hold grudges and to form these little, you know, protective shells when what we really need to do is look at one another with these gospel lenses, mm-hmm. this humility.
Or am I quick to take offense rather than let love cover a multitude of sins?
Yes.
And so mm-hmm. oftentimes it's, hey, I think this was unintentional mm-hmm. of like this, they probably aren't out to get you. So let's give, I mean, sometimes again, it depends on the age of the child, but like sometimes it's just, let's give the benefit of the doubt here.
Yes.
If it's just something like this day is too hard or there's too, you know, whatever. And I'm kind of like, yeah, this is too, like, this is heavy mm-hmm. day. It's like, you know what? We're just going to cover that. Like, not every day is like this. Let's just do it. And again, this is probably unintentional and everybody needs to grow and change. Or if it's something that gets said in the classroom, either from a teacher to a student or a student to a student, again, if it's not a pattern, so I think we talk like, if this isn't a pattern, then sometimes it's just, hey, we're going to just cover that with grace mm-hmm. and assume the best in that person. They didn't mean it in that way. And so what is true? Like getting my students to go back to what is true. And then I think in those instances, again, this happened more when my child was a little older. So it depends on the age of your child. But if they're old enough, I think just teaching that biblical principle of if you have something against someone, they might not know, and you're required in Matthew 18. And when we talk about this as adults, like, go to them and say, hey, this hurt me, or I didn't agree with this, or when you said this, this is how I took this. And give them a chance to explain. And so I think talking to your child first about, like, that can be loving. So there's not bitterness that builds in this relationship. And so that person, if that they did wrong, something wrong, they can ask for forgiveness and you're going to give them grace. If it was a misunderstanding, then again, I'm going to bring that to light. And so teaching them to go and in humility, with graciousness, explain, you know, what hurt them or was hard for them. And you might need to be able, you might need to go with them, especially depending on their age. And so that, I think, clears most of it.
Good. All right. Why don't we'll talk about one more question. And the question is, you know, what do you do when you have a child that's either rushing through work and doing it really poorly, or they're just dawdling and they're putzing and they're taking all day?
Or what if it's the same child in the same day?
Exactly.
It's just alternating.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Again, it's hard because it's like so much of this is like, you need to pray for wisdom. I think that God gives you wisdom and discernment. And so being in the Word, praying through these, because I feel like we keep saying it depends, but it kind of does depend on the child, on the situation. But again, looking at why is this happening? Is this, I just want to get to playing, you know, if I'm rushing through, I don't really care, I just want to get it done. Well, going back and saying, are you giving it your best? And even if the grades are like great, you might be getting an A and it's just rushing through your work, but is this your best? And if it's not, you need to push a little bit harder. So are you growing? And so I think about that. Some kids will rush because they're discouraged. It sounds weird, but like if I rush and if I don't give it my best effort, then when I fail, I kind of can fall back on, well, I didn't really try. And so again, that like your identity is not dependent on your performance, but your identity should be in Christ, and that's secure, or you're loved because you're my son or daughter, like that. The performance, removing the performance from identity. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, once your identity is secure, then you should be free to do your best.
Exactly.
And so I think rushing and dawdling can be a way of, I'm just not going to give it my all. I'm not going to try. I'm just going to kind of either rush through it or meander through it. And then I think the other thing for us at home is I have a dawdler, and I've needed different resources. So oftentimes that's attention. And so I've had to look at what helps hold attention. And there are strategies and tools that you can use to help with that. I mean, sometimes you just have I have a student that just moves slower than I do. And that can be really frustrating. So again, is this dawdling or is this just I'm moving at a slower pace, but I'm still being diligent? And that takes some discernment, I think, to figure out.
Yeah, I would agree with all those things. I do think it does take discernment, and just encouraging that there is great fruit in working with excellence, but it takes work and it takes discipline to do that. So I loved what you said, that it's not our identity. Our work isn't our identity, but once our identity is free and in Christ, then what should be the automatic outflow of that is excellence in what we're doing, because we're offering it unto the Lord, and it's for His glory and our joy. And so obviously we're not going to necessarily say that every single time, but if that's sort of the way our home operates and what we talk about, we do things for the glory of God and for our joy, then that's an easy thing to fall back on and talk about in the midst of dawdling or rushing. But
and this is your primary job.
Yes.
Like this is what where God has you right now is primarily to learn and be a student, and so do that with excellence, and it can be done to the glory of God.
Amen. That's a great thought to end on. We like to end all of our episodes with recommendations, and these can be as broad or as narrow as we like them to be. So Why don't, Katie, you start out again and give us your recommendation.
Okay, well, I have one in my home who loves Little Women. I did too growing up. Loved reading Little Women by Louisa May Alcott, and we love the Winona Ryder movie, right? But there's a new one out, and I actually don't really know the actresses and actors very well. I know.
She's fabulous.
Yes, she is fabulous.
I think she's Irish.
Okay, yeah. So the new Little Women, it's set a little differently. It kind of throws you off at the beginning, but it's really good. It's really well done. So like that a lot.
I was going to give a flippant answer, but you challenged me. One of our favorite books is The Wingfeather Saga, and so I'll just get that out there. Good Read one. The Wingfeather Saga, but you have to get through, it's by Andrew Peterson, you have to get through the first one, kind of one and a half.
Yeah.
Really gets its stride after that, and just beautiful, beautiful examples of sacrifice and truth and love and siblings. Working together, good and evil, you need to read it. And I guess starting at the stay-at-home order, he has been reading them live. And so I think you can probably go back and get those like on his Facebook Live feed. And that's really enjoyable, is to listen to the author read The Wingfeather Saga. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'll give a flippant example.
Okay.
And I give this, it's not a full recommendation, right? It's a half-hearted recommendation because people have different ideas and different standards. But my wife and I watched the movie Jojo Rabbit and found it to be absolutely hilarious. It's about a young boy who has an imaginary friend that, well, his imaginary friend is Hitler. He's a Hitler youth. And it's made by Taika Waititi, if you know anything about him. He has a very kind of off-the-wall sense of humor. And I don't remember the last time we laughed so hard. It's very funny, but it's also very poignant at parts too, right? He finds out this like Hitler obsessed little boy finds out that his mom is hiding a Jew in his house, and so he has to work through some issues, I guess is the nice way of putting it. But there is some language. I wouldn't recommend it and it's about the Holocaust too, so I wouldn't recommend it for young kids. All right.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Bye.